gather this footage because they knew it would be a historic season. They didn't know what they were going to do with it, but they knew that they needed to capture this for posterity. So they thought it would sit in a vault for 2 or 3 years, and then they'd make something out of it, and that 2 or 3 years turned into 22 years, and you'll finally see this unearthed footage on Sunday night.
Obviously, with everything going on in the world, this was moved up. It was supposed to run around the NBA Finals in June. Talk about the challenges in speeding up the process.
Well, logistically, technologically, the challenges were immense because we're working in, you know, a facility with multi-million dollar rooms and state-of-the-art technology and things as simple as, you know, a printer and a scanner and paper clips and unlimited pens. I mean, things that we weren't preparing for. I certainly wasn't preparing for in my apartment to have a home office that's capable of finishing a global documentary of this ambition. So I credit our team and credit the technical team at a facility where we were for immediately inventing out of thin air a new workflow. I mean, we're finishing this 10-hour documentary on our laptops and on our desktops at home. We're doing everything we can to get it done. The first 5 episodes are done. 6 and 7, I'd say, are first and goal from the 1-inch line right now, and then the rest of them are, to carry that metaphor, somewhere in the red zone. But we're doing our best, and it's exciting, and it's a privilege to be able to actually bring a little bit of entertainment and escape to people in an otherwise bleak time.
Hey, Jason, 2 things real quick. You being a film guy, how quickly could you tell that guys got used or comfortable with cameras being around? Was there a moment when you go, okay, now they're really going to be open and honest, because it might not have started in the beginning? And then the other part is, when you're asking guys and you tell them, hey, by the way, we have this footage, do a couple of guys cringe knowing that they might not come off very well in this one, including Michael, who said that about himself?
That's an astute observation, is that as the season went on, you could tell that these guys were more and more comfortable with the cameras, to the point where when we get to the playoffs, these cameras are just a fly on the wall. I mean, you go from the beginning of the season where, you know, if you're going to crack that fourth wall, you don't want them looking into the camera. You don't want them acknowledging the camera and looking up at the boom mic and turning away from the camera, which they were doing early in the season, the first couple of months. And then you get over to the playoffs, and Michael is sitting there playing with a baseball bat, smoking a cigar in his practice uniform in the locker room before practice. He used to smoke a cigar. And that's something that, you know, as carefully crafted an image as he had back in the 90s, he probably would have been reluctant to do that in October, November, December of that season. But by the time May rolled around, this camera crew was just part of the team. So it was great to see the access that they got there. As far as their reluctance or their fears at this footage being shown at a later date like this, Michael, the first time that I met with him was back in 2017, and I said, why do you want to do this? And he said, I don't. And I said, why not? And he said, because when you see some of this footage that people have never seen before, I was tough on my teammates. And without context, you're going to see some of that raw footage. You're going to see me riding these guys in practice. You're going to see me as this intense, maniacal competitor when it's just a scrimmage in practice. And I think people might not be able to understand why I was behaving that way. And I said, you know, we had a conversation for an hour after that about the benefit of time and resources and context, and that we were going to have long interviews where he could explain why he acted this way, and we're going to have long interviews with the teammates who are on the other end of that behavior, who could explain what it felt like, and who could explain how they felt about it to this day. So I think that he's paramount with him is that you can't control what other people think. You can only control how you act. And that's why he was willing to say, you know what, you can show whatever you want. I'm going to explain it the way that I want. And he never once censored us through this entire process.
Jason Hare is with us, the Last Dance series director. It comes on. It's a 10-part documentary series. The next 5 Sundays, you could see it on ESPN. The edited version, Jason, right, is going to be on ESPN2 because there's going to be some colorful language in this documentary.
There's a rainbow of language on ESPN1. ESPN2, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more family-friendly. But that's part of the rawness that I really I'm proud that ESPN chose to do that, because it's part of the rawness of these conversations. And these guys were very relaxed during these conversations. And, you know, adults sometimes swear, especially when they're relaxed and they don't feel like they have to give the perfect sculpted answer. And a lot of these interviews were more like just kind of relaxed conversations about recollections and opinions. So, you know, there's some F-bombs, there's some S-bombs, there's some other colorful language in there, but I think it's all in the name of being authentic and being honest and telling a responsible story.
When you have time to let it breathe, and you do because of the hours that you're going to do this over, that span of 10 hours, I'm assuming the one thing that you knew you had to get to was Michael's 2 years off playing baseball. What was it, and what was it really? Is that sort of the biggest headline going in of we have to get an answer from Michael about this?
Of course. It's one of the bigger headlines. You know, when I told friends that I was doing this and people who are familiar with sports and familiar with his reputation, they said, that's great. That's awesome. But, you know, he's not going to talk about the gambling. Wasn't he suspended by David Stern? He's not going to talk about that. Wasn't his dad, didn't something awful happen to his dad? And wasn't he responsible for that? He won't go there. Didn't he punch Steve Kerr in the face in practice one time? They're not going to discuss that. We discuss all of those things head on and much more. So I think that people will be pleasantly surprised if they think that this is going to be a whitewashed, censored version of the Michael Jordan story that he took the reins over and said, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about this. He was adamant from day one that you can talk about whatever you want. I want to get it out there.
Jason Hare is with us, the director of The Last Dance, again, making its debut Sunday night at 9 on ESPN and ESPN2, the edited version there with the language bleeped out. What was the consensus that you got from the guys and the coach, Phil Jackson? Because at the end, they wanted to continue. Michael said it. We're still the champs. We should be given the chance to defend this. Are they still bitter about that to this day?
Michael is. I asked him in our final episode, I don't want to give away too much, but I asked him what he thought peak Michael Jordan was. And he said 1998 Michael Jordan was peak Michael Jordan because he was at his mental peak and he was still high enough up on his physical capability that he could use all of his mental skills and physically and mentally dominate people. So I said to him, is that satisfying then to go out at your peak or is it maddening? And I barely got the question out of my mouth when he said maddening, closed his eyes and shook his head and said maddening. He thought that they should have been going for 7. And he thought that he could have convinced Scottie and the rest of them to come back for one more year. Now, who knows if he could have, but he's adamant that he could have. So I think that there is still a lot of regret that they didn't keep that thing together and try and go for one more. But the story is what it is, and they won 6 titles in 8 years, which I doubt will ever be done again, and we can start to peel that onion back on Sunday night.
You don't have to give it away, last one. Is there a comparison, whether it's Michael and the guys who were part of that team, to we could have beaten the Kobe and Shaq Lakers? Do you guys get into who it is historically they think they could have taken care of in a series?
No, I wasn't interested in going there, to be honest with you, because Michael's really reluctant to compare himself to anyone. He's got respect for all eras, today's era and the era before him. So I didn't want this to be a referendum on who's the best team ever, who's the GOAT. If you want to use this series as part of your argument for the Bulls or for the Warriors or for the Celtics or the Lakers, feel free. If you don't want to use this series to argue for or against Michael as the greatest, feel free. But we didn't discuss those things. I was only interested in telling the story of the Bulls dynasty and Michael Jordan through the lens of the 97-98 Bulls, and I think we did that.
Well, Jason, thanks for coming on very much. I think I speak for everybody as sports fans looking forward to watching the debut and the series as it runs for the next 5 Sundays, The Last Dance on ESPN. Appreciate the time.
I want to say hi to my friends in Decatur and Dunwoody and Peachtree City. I love Atlanta, man. I have a lot of people that I care about a lot down there. So hello to them and stay safe to all of them and to all you guys too.
Well,
consider
it
done, Jason. You stay safe as well. Jason Hare, the director of the 10-part documentary series, 2 parts for the next 5 Sunday nights, The Last Dance. Can't tell you how excited I am for this. And I've got to think that just about every sports fan, even if they're not fans of the NBA, they're at least going to DVR this and give it a watch. Now, you're right, Chris. Do they stay with it? That's the question.
Yeah.
But I got to believe, based on what we've been told about this, a lot of people have had a chance to watch it already. Yes, people are going to stay with it.
Well, they've certainly seen the first couple of episodes, and they said, okay, we understand what it is they're trying to do, and this is really good, so we're going to actually invest in more and look forward to reviewing more, because every Monday, by the way, there's going to be a review, sort of like with Hard Knocks, except to me, more interesting and more exciting, because I know the end result, and we're speaking to people iconic. I mean, we're speaking iconic people. Look, Hard Knocks has its moments, no doubt about it, but this is sort of a history lesson. What is it we said? There's a full generation that doesn't know Michael Jordan at his what he said was his peak. Full generation that never saw Michael Jordan play at their peak. Now the question is, can you get multi-generations to sit down and watch this?
Do you think
a 15-year-old kid is because that's the whole thing. What if dad says, hey, man,
yeah,
you got to see
so.
This. I do,
if
too.
If you're going to sit down and watch it with your parents, I think you will watch. And I love what he just said. It was a great question, Chris, that you asked him. Warts and all, are we going to hear about the gambling rumors? Did he really step away and play baseball because he was really suspended for gambling? What about the murder of his father? Was he complicit in that? Did it have anything to do with gambling debts or anything else that Michael Jordan was dealing with as a result? And all of those questions, I guess, are asked and are answered by Michael Jordan for the first time, I think, ever. He's going to directly answer all of those things.
Yeah, we didn't have to go into it because once he said that we're going to go back to when Phil Jackson was born, this goes back to what we believed was going to happen. You and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. You have to build up. You've got to give me a reason. It's not just how good the Bulls were, but give me characters. You know, we say this all the time. I think you agree with me. Maybe some guys listening, maybe some women listening right now to get their spouse involved. Give me something. Give me a reason to sit down and watch this with you. It's not about how good that guy is. There's a backstory or three, and I think the assembling of this team and them actually having that, oh, yeah, screw all of you. You know, if this is going to be it, watch what we're capable of doing. And that's the big picture story of the whole thing. I think that's what makes it interesting. There is time. You know, you and I talked the other day. Somebody is going to write about what 2020 was for our generation, for our kids' generation. But it's too soon. There's no time element. You need a time element to actually capture. And don't, right? Do you agree with that? Like, you
yes.
need, you can't, they win 70 games. What do we say about them? They win 72. What do we say about them? The draft is coming next Thursday. Somebody's going to grade it on Friday morning with nothing to base it on. The time element is maybe the most intriguing thing about this, including a full generation that watched the Lakers, that watched Golden State, that watched LeBron go to Miami. Think about everything that's happened in the NBA since this team actually just said, okay, it sounds like not happily, you're done. Go away now.